And thanks for joining me this evening. I'm Aaron Hay. You're listening to Mizzou Music on Classical 90.5 FM. I am joined by phone by MU's postdoctoral fellow, Yoshiaki Onishi. Yoshi, how are you doing?
I'm alive. Thank you.
Aren't we all? First off, it's one of these things, one of the great things about these interviews is that I get to hear from people because it's pretty lonely up in the station these days. But it's nice to hear your voice. How are you getting through?
Well, it is undeniably it's pretty challenging. First of all, to shift all my teaching online. And also, I was for a long time getting used to waking up quite early, teach some classes during the morning, and I still do that, obviously. But the idea of physically being at a school where my function is to teach, that is a bit non-existent at the moment. Mm-hmm. And doing that all online, from home. At first, I thought that doing that would give me some kind of comfort, as in me not having to really move around the house and all that. But then I realized that quickly how much of energy that I was actually getting from being physically present with the students in the same classroom or in the office. And so in fact, I found for the first few weeks, I guess it's been maybe less than a month, I suppose, mm-hmm. that this online teaching started to really kick in. For the first few weeks, I suppose that speaking in front of nobody but into the microphone, of course, I see the student's face, obviously, over the computer and all everything, but I found this kind of idea of virtual teaching surreal, really. And it's so bizarre of me to say that because I suppose I'm an introverted person, and I'm supposed to be at home with this idea of being in solitude, working on my own music and all that. But then this is completely a different paradigm for me. And but at the same time, I'm doing my best, and I trust that my students also are, you know, doing their best as well. So for everybody, I know it's a very difficult situation, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the fact that the School of Music has, you know, gone on with individual instruction and teaching, you know, composition and conducting and everything else that the School of Music does mm-hmm. With its students has been a real benefit to the students. It still gives them, you know, and all of us, it gives all of us kind of a sense of, you know, everything is still normal. It's just a different normal.
Yeah, it is definitely. I mean, for teaching private lesson in composition over the Zoom, it wasn't necessarily drastically different from how I usually do in the in-person teaching of private lesson in composition. In that I would still see what they're working on the notated form. So Zoom has this nice function of projecting the screen and share the screen. And so I'm able to annotate, mark up the scores and things like that. So in that, it maintains to be still, you know, it allows me to do some kind of interaction with a person or with a score. And so that's not been a huge issue, but I think that for other courses where the true in-person interactivity was the main one of the main foci of the course, it's really different, I think.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we're trying to do on the program now is we're reaching out to our friends in the music community and at the University of Missouri and trying to get an idea of what some of their favorite pieces are and letting them choose a piece and tell us what makes it special to them and a way we can listen to it all as a group and kind of feel that sense of community that music is really great at building. It can build a conversation. It can build a sense of community around this piece. And I think that's what we're doing here. And I'm really enjoying the process. So I wanted to ask if you had a piece that, that was special to you and if you'd like to talk about it.
Sure. So the piece I was thinking about, and in fact, I decided on, is the Piano Trio by Maurice Ravel. And this was written in 1914, and it was performed in Paris in a year after. So this piece has been a dear piece to me ever since I first encountered it in 1993, I believe. And this was when I was 12 or something like that. And back in the day, I mean, when I say back in the day, I feel like, I suppose this was last century. So there was this thing called air checking, which is a term, so when we hear the radio broadcast, we would also run the cassette tape recording. And so you would record the broadcast, the radio broadcast. And this was actually one of the pieces, in fact, that I happened to air check at the time. And it just, from the first listening, as I was listening to it and doing the air checking at the same time, I was immediately seduced by how it sounds. And so I suppose that for me, that this piece signifies a sort of a way of expressing the music, expressing itself in a very introspective way. The piece begins rather quietly. It's very, it just begins with this A minor chord, just playing on the piano, just playing A, C, and E together, just one hand at first, the very first. And for me, when I first heard it, for somebody who was used to school music, like the music, the type of music that I would play in the public elementary school, this was back in Japan, and which was all loud and bombastic in a way, this really struck me as something that was completely different. The music that made entrance of, well, almost no entrance whatsoever, but it was just being there. And it really opened up my the idea of music as not having to make such a flamboyant introduction, but something that grows over time. And this piece, being Ravel, that he was still young at this time when he wrote it, of course, he was really masterful in the way he treated these three instruments. And so I really listened to it all, I guess, up to now, I suppose, time to time now. And I'm always reminded of how much of astonishment I got from listening to it for the first time. And of course, in 2000, this was in San Francisco. I happened to be at the party somewhere, a New Year's party at some pianist's house. And for the first time, I encountered the sheet music for this piano trio, and I was holding it like some kind of holy grail or something like that. And as soon as I opened the music, even without listening to it, I just could see and I could just hear how it sounded like on the cassette tape, and it was pretty magnificent. So another aspect of this piece is that I mentioned earlier that this piece was written in 1914. And if you remember the world history at the time, the World War I broke that year. And I may not be the Ravel specialist, but it is easy to imagine, since he enlisted himself as working in the French army, doing a driver for emergency vehicle during the wartime period, and so it was written right before the war broke out, and in fact the piece was completed right after the war started to take place. And so and you can actually tell that because in the fourth movement of this piece, in the midpoint of it, there's a little fanfare-like figure that the piano plays. And it is said to be an allusion to the trumpets, you know, of the wartime trumpets, a heralding call, I suppose. And which is something that's that speaks greatly to me in my mindset at the moment. Of course, we're not really in this in the context of war, I suppose. Thinking about how Ravel might have written it, this particular piano trio, thinking that it might be his last piece to complete in his lifetime, it gives this listening of to this piece quite different. And now more than ever, the first time I encountered this piece some 28 years ago, I could see this the significance of it, because in a way Ravel was also completing this piece in the period of great tumult and uncertainty, and we also do live in society marked by the great uncertainty period, and this has been quite a bit of it brings me a lot of anxiety, obviously.
Sure.
Even for somebody like me who works willingly in the territory of uncertainty and unknown in my own music. But at the same time, listening to this piece, I was doing that yesterday, and it gave me some power or energy, I suppose, because even though we do not know what may happen, it is also true that I personally need to feel determined and try to fulfill my my job as a composer, to try to do the best I can. And in a way, I heard listening to this piece really reminded me of that, how even though the piece sounds at the beginning, at least, really introspective, and I mean, of course, there's so many really loud and heroic or bombastic moments in the piece. It's also true that I think that he wrote this piece with in mind that whatever he wanted to express, whether it's an introspective idea or very loud or very prominent idea, he did it to the max, and so there was no regret in the way he was writing these passages, I think. And it's given me a lot of inspiration, and so I thought this is the reason I I thought I would bring up, not just personal reason, but also historical background. And so that's my little introduction to Ravel. Yeah,
perfect.
The piano trio. Yeah.
That's great. So do you think then, as a composer then, do you think that our current time will have an influence on the works that you're doing now or in the future?
Yes. It is, I think that, of course, I can never tell what may come in the next given moment. It is true that the situation that we are living right now has given me some ideas as to, well, first of all, it really made me think about what my role as a composer or as a musician or as a human being should be or ought to be. And that thinking, even just that, well, of course, it's a large question, obviously, but thinking that is having some significant effect on the way I might, you know, I might go about the way I think about music, I think. And I think that there are many people, many musicians who are undoubtedly suffering from all this situation. And I know that some people are not in the situation to be able to work as much as they were able to before this whole pandemic unfurled. And but then there are others who are in a slightly, well, thankfully, better, I suppose, a psychological situation to be able to work. And I suppose I'm in the middle, you know, and I'm not going to say that I'm doing great, as in I'm writing like a lot of notes at the same time or anything like that. Of course, it is hitting me very hard. But then at the same time, if I stop completely, that's not going to do anybody any good. And so I think that whatever it means, that music as a kind of writing music as a sort of a social responsibility is for me a thing that I'm thinking a lot about.
Right.
You know, it has it's uncovering so much in the world as a society and as this planet as far as that goes too. And I think that it's definitely a lot to process, and I cannot give any definite concrete answer as to what kind of music I might be writing next. But at the same time, it has made me more, well, I mean, it has made me think more about what I do in relation to the world. That's yeah. for sure.
It's made us all yeah. more aware.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. Yoshi, thanks so much for taking some time to tell us about this piece, and we'll now we'll listen to that piano trio by Maurice Ravel from 1914 coming up as Mizzou Music continues here. Yoshi, again, thanks so much, and thanks for what you do and for continuing to teach and to compose here.
Thank you so much, Aaron.
Yeah.